Welcome, Glambitious listeners. We want to thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Glambitious podcast. We are excited today to talk to our guest today. We have some things that we need to get into. So, Miss Antrim, can you please introduce yourself to the Glambitious listeners?
Hello, everyone. My name is Vanessa Antrim. And I am known as the sunshine. I like to bring light to any situation that I'm involved in. And when I was on Family Feud years ago, Steve Harvey said when he met me, "You got your high beams on." And so that was such a compliment that I can show the love of Christ and also shine throughout the world.
Amazing, amazing, because we can all use some sunshine in our lives, especially some high beaming sunshine. That Yes. speaks volumes to your personality and your demeanor for someone to say high beam and then be Steve Harvey to Yes. say high beam. So awesome, awesome, bringing light to any situations. So I know that you are a co-author in the Faith for Fiery Trials anthology. Can you talk to us about what type of light you're bringing to the situation in that anthology?
Yeah, so the first one that I was in, and I'd like to give a shout out to Nicole Mason, who has been such a mentor and got me pushed with making my writing come alive. So I was in the second anthology, which is volume 2 of the Faith for Fiery Trials. And in that one, I talked about my journey through breast cancer. No one in my family had breast cancer at the time. So even though I'd been followed for years for different lumps in my breast, I was really shocked to hear my doctor say, "Miss Antrim, we found cancer." And so that began the journey of working with other women to help me in my journey. And that was part of my healing process. I didn't want to just deal with this disease, but I wanted to go back and reach back and help other people. So I started going to one of the local hospitals that I was in for a long time because I had so many issues with my cancer journey that I hooked up with the breast cancer specialist there who was responsible for scheduling mastectomies. And I had a mastectomy, so that's where I wanted to go and talk to people. So she allowed me to come in. She would notify me when women were coming in for a mastectomy and allowed me to come in that evening. And I would go into their room and they were still kind of droggy and getting their cells together after such a radical surgery. So what I did was I took them a teddy bear and a smile and a word of encouragement. And that evening, after all their guests have left, just went in and said, "You can make it." And I also was able to show them how somebody could look after breast cancer. So that was just amazing. It was a healing process for me. It was a healing process for the ladies because they were like, "You really, really helped me out," because all I had heard was negative stories. So I listened to the positive. Even when the doctors say things, I used to say, "Okay, let's see what you can do." But I knew that God had my back, and that's who I relied on for my healing.
How encouraging and how kind spirited of you to want to go back to a place that you had come from, you know, your breast cancer situation, and go back and just be an encouragement for the other women that are going through. That is sunshine. I love it. I love it.
Yes, thank you.
So in your part in the most recent volume of the Faith for Fiery Trials, are you talking about your breast cancer journey?
Actually, no.
Okay.
In the last one, I'm talking about three different things. One is you are the one, because sometimes we just feel like, you know, God has forgotten us, and you know, we're out here, you know, but God made us individually and we're wonderfully made. And so I have three different devotionals in the last devotional that she did, that we did. And one is on self-care is necessary. And the third one is about you are enough. Because sometimes we just feel like we're not enough to people. We get rejected, but God says that we are enough.
Amen. Amen. So you mentioned self-care. Let's talk about that for a moment, because it's something that we need. It's a buzzword that we're hearing, but are we really doing it? So tell us your thoughts or give us some tips on self-care.
Well, one of the things about self-care and what started my my way of thinking and putting myself first, it's first and foremost, I am a mom and a wife and a grandma. And so as women, and especially Black women, we know that our role is to be there for our families, no matter what they need. And so it's not out of the norm for us to put ourselves on the back burner to realize some of our goals in life will take care of us the way we need to. And so my parents were both very sick. In fact, both of them had dementia. And during the pandemic and everything shut down, I had to stop my life and move in with them and take care of them, which was a very, very easy decision for me to do. But it was a lot of work. And thank God for my daughters, and my husband for supporting me in doing that. But I found out when I started taking my parents to the doctor, even before the pandemic, that I wasn't taking care of myself. I would rip and run, get to work in the morning, then get back over to take care of them. And then at night, you know, I'm cooking for them and giving them their medicine. And there were times and days that I would forget to take my own medicine. I wouldn't eat until late. And I was just getting heavier and heavier and sicker and sicker. But I just said, I don't have time to be sick. I got to push through this to take care of them. And it was at one of my mom's doctor's appointment that her doctor pulled me out in the hallway. And she said, I know you love your parents, but you got to take care of yourself. And I tell you, that hit me in the chest so hard, because it's like, how can I not take care of them? You know, they need me. They're in their 90s, you know. And so she said, they've lived a good life. And if you want to live a good life, you need to start taking care of yourself. And so I started doing just that. I give myself some me time. I've learned how to tell people no. I have started traveling like I want to. Unfortunately, both of my parents passed away in the last year, 10 months apart. But I am so grateful and happy, no regrets, because I did everything I could. And so all I have is peaceful memories. And I thank God for the time that I had with them. And I live my life like it's golden. They tease me on Facebook, where you going? You never stay home. But why? I love it. I love taking care of me. So I'm doing water aerobics. I go to hand dance class. And I'm just doing this thing called life and enjoying it.
Awesome. First of all, our condolences to you for losing both of your parents in the last year. I know that was difficult for you. But also kudos to you for, you know, persevering, keeping their memories, you know, alive, but also persevering and enjoying life and really living into that self-care. Because again, I think we talk about it and we say it, but a lot of us are not really living into it. So thank you for sharing, you know, your journey and what led you into taking care of yourself. Because like your doctor said, you weren't going to be able to take care of them for long if you didn't take care of yourself.
Yes. And if something were to happen to me, who was going to pick up the mantle and keep on going? So, you know, now I'm doing things like, I won't say which app I use, but it's leading me to healthy eating, and I've lost some weight and I feel good about myself and still have a long way to go. But, you know, God is good and I'm just enjoying life. So this, in the past few months, I've been to New Orleans and Kansas. Next month, I'm going to Jamaica. So, you know, I realize we only get one chance at this thing called life. And I want to get as much out of it as I can. So don't just talk it, do it, take time for yourself. I was telling my daughter the other day, because she goes from meeting to meeting to meeting, because people can see her schedule. And I said to her, schedule time for yourself, put in a meeting with, and put your name down, you know, special meeting, private meeting, but you need time for yourself, because otherwise you're going to give and either become resentful, irritable, or just lose track of yourself and your health. So self-care is non-negotiable. Take care of yourself. Go get your nails done. Go, you know, do what makes you happy. So that's my advice to the women of today. We can't be everything to everybody and leave ourselves out.
Awesome. Thank you for that reminder. Listeners, you heard it. Take time for self. It's good that we want to take care of everyone else. It's good that we do take care of everyone else, but we have to put self first in order to be able to efficiently and effectively take care of other people. So thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing your story. What would you say is the impact of sharing your story?
I think that my impact on sharing my story is that I'm not the only one who's been through this. I'm not the only breast cancer survivor. I'm not the only one who's had the responsibility of caregiving. And I'm not the only one who's been a mom and a grandmother and taking care of other people. So the difference is the light bulb came on in time for me still to enjoy myself. And if I can share how crucial it is to take care of yourself, and I can help one other lady, one other mother, one other friend, one other girlfriend, to just take time, take that long bath, take that long shower, listen to some music, whatever makes you happy. It doesn't matter what other people feel, but do what makes you happy. So my impact is that I've been there. I haven't taken care of myself. I haven't exercised. I haven't done this, that, and the other. But one thing I have learned is how to say no to give Vanessa time. And that's shocking for people. So if you're one of those people who have trouble saying no, I'll tell you like my girlfriend told me. Just tell them, I would love to help you, but I just can't do it this time. Or that time of day isn't going to work for me. So I'm sorry, I can't do it. If you can't say no, find another way. But I feel like my impact can help other people, because we all feel like we're out here, and if we don't do it, it won't get done. Excuse me. But somebody will pick it up and do it. But you have to take care of yourself.
Amen. Amen. And so I know you've had your experience with breast cancer, and we thank God that he brought you through that. I know that can be considered a fiery trial. So what advice would you share with someone who also may be going through a fiery trial of being diagnosed with breast cancer?
I would say get hold of a promise. Get hold of a word to encourage you. And so I remember when I was diagnosed and my mom was really, really distraught. And I said, Ma, I'm not going anywhere, because the word says that if you honor your mother and father, your days on this earth will be long. And I said, I know that I've taken good care of you and Daddy. And this was in 2005. So it was a very long time before they were up in age and sick and everything. But I held on to that, that I will live and not die. So I think if we hold on to the promises of God, and also don't accept anybody else's story, because that's their story. That's what's in their life. I wouldn't let anybody tell me anything negative about what happened to their first cousin on their daddy's side and all of that. No, I can't listen to that right now. And I encourage my daughters not to listen to it, because I didn't want them to walk around in fear. I believe that when it's our time to go, there's nothing that can be done to stop it. Just like when it's our time to be born, there's nothing that can be done to stop it. So we have a time to be born and a time to die. And I just think that when it's your time to go, you're going to go no matter what we try to do. So some people can be walking across the street and meet their last day. So I encouraged my daughters. I said, don't listen to anything negative. And they were, the youngest one was in high school at the time. And I said, nope, we're going to look at this positive, because God is still a healer and he's going to heal me. And the devil tried everything he could to, I was in the hospital so long. And, every time I would come home, it seemed like I would be home for 2 or 3 days. All of my incisions opened back up. They didn't think that they were going to save the breast that they had built. It was just a struggle. But God brought me through, and I remained positive. When I was in the hospital, people would say, oh, you're so nice. And the dietitians would come. I couldn't eat anything, and they would just try to make these shakes up, and they kept saying, it's just something about you, we want to help, we want to help. So when you're in these situations, be nice to people. We you know, sometimes we're in the hospital and we're cranky, we don't feel well, and God knows I didn't, but we don't have to take it out on people who are trying to help us. So I would just say, remain positive, because things are going to happen in life that we don't know why it's happening to us. You know, did I do something to deserve this or whatever? But let's get through it on a positive note. And then a few years after that, I was diagnosed with kidney cancer, and that came out of nowhere. And I'm like, what? Why am I getting this? But every time God has made a way, and I came out on this side of it. So I thank God for that. So I would say, stay positive, no matter how it looks, stay positive. I listen to music. They used to laugh at me, the MRIs, the CAT scans, all of that. I'm like, I need to have some music playing. And I would have that gospel music, and I had the little CDs playing. and they let me do it. You know, I said, I have to have this for me to stay calm and think positive. Yeah. And only a couple of times did the person say they couldn't let me do it. So I played it in my head, kept my eyes closed. And I played it in my head. And that's what brought me through. So just stay positive.
Awesome. I love when you started out, you said holding on to a promise, because we know that the promises of God are yes and amen. Amen. When we hold on to a promise, it's guaranteed that whatever he said, he's going to bring to pass. So that's definitely, definitely some sound advice. When you're going through a fiery trial, get you a promise and hold on to it.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing that. Also, as a caregiver, because I know we have a lot of people now who are taking care of one or both of their parents. That can be considered a fiery trial, because I heard you mention, although it was an easy decision for you to make to do it, your life still changed. So that can be a fiery trial for some. What piece of advice would you share to the caregivers?
The piece of advice I would share to caregivers is, first of all, still the self-care, But also, while you're caring for the person, make sure you're doing what they need, what they like. Because sometimes we get so caught up in we got to change, we got to roll them over every 30 minutes, we got to do this, we got to do that. But if the person isn't able to talk, look at their expressions. If something you're doing is causing pain, it's going to show in their face. So some of the caregivers that would come, I have to laugh because, you know, when my dad was in hospice care at home, and I tried to keep them both at home for the duration. But when my dad was in the hospice care and the hospice nurses would come or the aides would come and have to change them, and they wanted to wash them up real quick and everything, because they did have a lot of other people they had to get to. And I said, oh, no, we don't leave him wide open like that. You know, so you're giving him a bath. We're not going to expose him, especially if it was somebody that he didn't know. So you're coming in and you're just meeting my dad and you're going to give him a bath, which is very, very personal. And you're just going to take off everything and have him open while you wash him from head to toe. No, we lay a towel across him. So I made sure that they treated my parents with respect. Yeah. So we're going to cover his private area. And we're going to ask some questions. Daddy, are you cold? Do you want some more cover or something on you? And he would just smile. He couldn't talk, you know, during that time. But he would just smile like, Ness, you got my back. And that meant everything. When he would say, before he stopped talking, when he would say things like, you got to ask the boss. And he called me the boss because you're not going to do anything without him. So we had to make a critical decision, even though he may not have been able to understand totally what was going on. I would explain it. Daddy, they want you to use a Hoyer lift now. And this is a lift that's going to help us lift you out of the bed so you can go in the den to your favorite chair. So it's different things like that. And he felt included. He felt respected. So if you're caring for someone, don't let anyone disrespect them and you just stand by and don't say anything, because what that says to the person you're caring for is that, wow, I thought I could depend on my daughter to be here and she's letting these people mistreat me. And so how would you think that would make you feel? So mm-hmm. I always push those caregivers and I said, this is what we're going to do. Now you tell me what you need. I can help you, but this is what's going to have to happen for my dad. This is what's going to have to happen for my mom. I didn't play. So I gave them things to let them know how I appreciated them. It was nothing for them to get gifts and surprises so that I was showing appreciation. But in turn, you're going to show my dad and my mom the respect that they deserve. So that's my advice.
Well, thank you for that advice. I heard two things that really stood out that kind of summed it up. Dependability and advocacy.
Yes.
If you're caring for someone, be dependable and also be an advocate for them, for other people who may be coming in and assisting or who are a part of their care team. Be an advocate for them. Don't just let anything go without getting their input to yes. make sure that they're comfortable.
Yes, so yes.
Thank you for that advice. So what's next for you, Ms. Vanessa, for the rest of 2023 and beyond?
Well, beyond my self-care and my traveling, I really want to start with podcasting. So this is great that I have this opportunity to be here with you today. So I took one podcasting class and I am getting ready to take a second one so that I can, you know, be effective to other women. And so that's what my goal is, to really start talking about some hard issues that women in their later years experience.
Awesome. Awesome. We love it. So it's been a pleasure talking with you today and hearing tips on caregiving, self-care, breast cancer, and especially being able to actually experience your sunshine on the podcast today. Oh, so how you. Can listeners connect with you?
They can connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, and my website, which is www.vanessa, V as in Victory, A, N as in Nancy, E, S as in Sam, S as in Sam, A. My middle initial K is in kite, and my last name, A as in apple, N as in Nancy, T as in Tom, R, U, M as in Mary.com. So www.vanessakantrim.com.
Awesome. Again, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us today. Listeners, we also want to thank you again for tuning in to another episode of the Glambitious Podcast. Goodbye for now.
Thank you.